This is Game Time AM. Now, back to Brad Lee and Jeff Jones from St. Louis Game Time on 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.
I always hate to talk over Jeremy playing all these notes so fast, close together. I mean, this cannot be an easy song. Little Tom Sawyer from Rush. Jeremy Boyer on the organ at Scott Trade Center. The organ that's probably under a dust tarp and in a closet somewhere, just waiting for October to come back out.
They are jamming in the concerts this week.
I noticed. Eric Church and was it Hall & Oates and Tears for Fears on Saturday?
And I'm
Tom Petty?
I was waiting for you to name the ones that you could think of because I knew there was no chance you were going to say Chance the Rapper.
Oh, but Chance the Rapper was the Rapper. Sunday night on Mother's Day.
Yeah, yeah.
I actually had a friend who took his kid to his first hip-hop show, Chance the Rapper. Chance the Uber driver? Chance doesn't have a ring to it.
No.
But Chance the Rapper.
Well, and so then there's one more show. Was it Roger Waters, I guess, is this week?
Oh,
and
really?
And then the building goes dark until October.
For a renovation.
Yes.
Have you followed the people online complaining about the company they hired to install the scoreboard?
So I haven't followed it online, but we have a texter. Kaworski is a regular texter to this program and has texted in a couple of times to ask why they would choose like a Chinese company that's never installed anything in North America and blah, blah, blah. I'm sure the answer is they're the cheapest, right?
Yeah.
But we will have the opportunity to ask someone about that this week, I think.
So we're trying to set up an interview with Tom Stillman. We hope to get it done last week. We hope to get it done like today or tomorrow. We're probably going to talk to him, the lead owner of the St. Louis Blues, on Thursday afternoon. So we'll record that and come back, I guess, Monday with that audio. Unless we like say, hey, we're going to be on Friday. But I kind of like sleeping in on Fridays.
I mean, I don't really sleep in on Friday, but it is nice to not have to drive here.
Yeah. So we'll save it for Monday. Maybe we'll tweet out a couple tidbits.
Little teasers.
Little
quotes.
Teasers over the weekend. Yeah. So follow St. Louis Game Time at St. Louis Game Time on the Twitters. Actually, something from Twitter I've pulled up. Apparently, there is a company down south. They call themselves the Threaditors. They're suppliers of Nashville hockey goods and apparel. They only have 782 followers, but they make t-shirts basically themed for the Predators, which is, you know, that's cool. They helped raise money for St. Louis flood relief with the American Red Cross. They were able to donate $1,000 to flood relief from St. Louis. And they have the thank you note from the American Red Cross here in St. Louis. Dear Threaders, the American Red Cross is very grateful for your generous gift of $1,000 on May 15th to Missouri floods. Please see below for a copy of your tax receipt, yada, yada. The humanitarian efforts of the Red Cross provide comfort and hope to so many during their time of need. Thank you for your commitment to this critically important work. Our mission depends on the support and compassion of donors like you. That's pretty cool. I mean, it was during the heat of the playoffs, and the Predators themselves did some stuff. There was that the May 5th game, Game 6. There was a lot of different fundraising. The 50-50 went to flood relief here in St. Louis.
Didn't the Smash Car also maybe go to flood relief?
The Smash Car from the, I guess, Game 4 down in Nashville.
Do you think that they're going to get a duck boat and smash that up for
Game 3?
I don't
know. We'll see. That game's tonight, right?
Yeah.
We've got some interesting storylines. But we had Dan Bradley on several times during the series, and he was great. He sent us Goo Goo Clusters, the candy bar that's one of the first candy bars, right?
I believe so, yeah.
Made there in downtown Nashville.
Wasn't that one of those like accidental discoveries, right, where you accidentally spill some nuts and some chocolate?
They made it in like 1903, 1904,
right.
Something like that. So, you know, the hockey community is different than any other professional sport because the camaraderie and the shared experiences and, you know, when you talk to hockey players, they're different than when you talk to a baseball player, or a football player, or a basketball player. Their experience and how they got there and the dedication of the sport, you know, the weird hours and ice time and the travel and the expense. And
well, and I think part of it, too, and this is becoming maybe less and less true, but there is a more centralized pipeline for getting to the NHL, right? So if you play in the NFL, you could have played at any one of thousands of high schools or hundreds of colleges before you got to the NFL, and you might never have met the guys that are across the room. Whereas if you're playing in the NHL, it's very likely that you came up through either the NCAA or Canadian Major Junior.
You're either teammates or competitors,
right,
or all-star teammates.
For 10 years, Yeah. And so, yeah, and so you definitely have a deeper connection with maybe guys from other teams.
And there's still, you know, it's not as prevalent as it used to be, but there's still a number of Canadian farm boys that
sure
come out of nowhere, and, you know, this is all, you know, shocking to them that they're in the National Hockey League. And,
that's, I had this conversation with someone during the playoffs, and, you know, names removed to protect the innocent, and they were questioning why a player would have done a certain thing, and I said, you have to remember that this is a 22-year-old kid from Alberta, right? Like, I mean, all things considered, given the personal, you know, given whatever these people do, you have to remember that these are people, and so if you're a kid from Alberta who's got a giant pile of money and you're living in St. Louis, like,
where's Joel Edmondson from?
Irrelevant. I'm just saying.
I was just going down the roster. Where's that guy from?
It was just an example.
Okay.
That was
random. Yeah. Right. Anybody from Alberta.
That is no. And that it was just a randomly chosen Western Canadian province.
Uh-huh, sure. So that's cool. So there's that storyline that was floating around on Twitter yesterday. And a lot of people were patting the Predators fans and that Twitter account on the back. There's another storyline coming out of tonight's game three, the first conference final game in Nashville history at home. And there's a little bit of controversy. Jeff, tell us about the controversy.
So there is a gentleman named Dennis K. Morgan.
He goes with the middle initial?
Well, according to this article in Tennessean, he does. Okay. And Dennis is apparently the regular anthem singer for the Nashville Predators. Though I will say, as I read this article, it doesn't sound that regular. I mean, go find the number here. But I want to say he has where the hell is it? Bah, 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 bah.
Show prep.
Yeah, sorry. I had the number earlier, and actually, there it is, has performed the national anthem about 185 times total.
How many years?
So he apparently moved back, where is it? Not that long ago.
Really wish we had the Mike Francesa drop of,
Yeah. Well, so, and totally off topic, I finally figured out that the guy who's been on before us for something and for Amy Lawrence all week,
uh-huh,
he's trying to do Francesa, but I think he's just bad at it. That guy's terrible.
All right, fair enough.
In any event, yeah, so it's been like 5 years or less that he's been there. So pretty close to every game that he's been back in Nashville, he's sung the national anthem. And apparently before the third home game, or the third game, rather, of the Chicago series.
The first home game.
The first home game. Someone went to him and... this is going to be a whole thing, because I had his quote here too. Here's the quote: "They came to me and said the captain's wife asked to sing the anthem that night." Morgan said, "The captain's wife, better known as Carrie Underwood.
Yeah.
Carrie Underwood is married to Mike Fisher, the captain of the Predators. So the captain's wife asked to sing the national anthem before Game Three, and he agreed, believing it would be a one-time event. And then it was not a one-time event, because he hasn't been seen since. Little Big Town has been there, and Lady Antebellum has been there, and Vince Gill and his kids were out there. So apparently Dennis Morgan is not happy with this. Dennis K. Morgan, yes. In this article, has claimed that he's gone to retirement parties and various other social events, and he's felt guilty because he's been the center of attention, because people have been asking him why he wasn't singing the anthem.
People are clamoring for Dennis K. Morgan.
And apparently he went to the Predators and told them he was unhappy and was going to go to the paper, and the Predators gave him the thumbs up. Which I can't imagine actually happened. And I also am starting to get the feeling that Dennis K. Morgan may have sung his last note before a Nashville Predators game, because at the point where the team tells you, go ahead, go to the paper to complain about being replaced by platinum artists, I think they're pretty well done with you.
Yeah. I got to tell you, it's Music City. You know, you have really well-known recording artists living down the street who want to sing before the game.
Right.
I think you're going to pick them over Dennis K. Morgan.
Look, you don't hear the St. Margaret Mary Alico school choir complaining to the Cardinals when Gretchen Wilson sings a national anthem before a playoff
game.
This
is true.
So,
when is Barbara Mandrell going to sing? I don't even know
who that is.
You don't know who Barbara Mandrell
is?
No.
I know Odie Mandrell was a pod racer in episode one.
All right, fair enough.
I don't know.
Matt Davis is floored by your nerddom
That's what I got. I don't know who the hell Barbara Mandrell
is. She's a Hall of Fame country music artist.
And I mean, I would have gotten like Tammy Wynette. I would have known who that was.
She's dead.
I wouldn't have known that.
Winona
Judd, is she alive?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
She might be sober.
Patsy Cline?
She's dead.
Okay.
See, I grew up in a country and western household.
Right. Your dad liked both kinds of music, right?
Uh-huh. Yeah. And Yeah, so I know a little bit about the genre, even though I'm not a fan. So there's a rumor that country music sucks. We had that in the paper. We only print the truth in the Game Time paper.
Matt is nodding his head vigorously.
Hey, is there someone on the phone line there, Matt Davis?
Yeah, actually, there is a gentleman named Jim. He wanted to ask you guys a question about the Blues minor league system.
Ah, okay.
All right. Hey, Jim, good morning. How are you?
Well, hey, good morning, guys. Great show, as always. My question, I don't know if you guys know. I know on this NHL Network coming up, I mean, I'm enjoying this World Championships. Today I'm looking forward to this USA-Russia game I'm going to watch. But my question, I don't know if you guys know. I know starting Friday night they have that junior tournament, the Memorial Cup, and there's four teams in it. I believe it's Windsor, St. John, Erie, and Seattle. I was just wondering if you guys knew, do the Blues have any prospects on any of those teams?
Of those four teams, I don't believe they do.
I know last year they had a couple of guys that were in that tournament.
Yeah.
And a couple of years ago I saw Fabry playing that tournament, so I was just wondering if you guys knew or maybe...
Yeah, of those, between those four teams, Erie, St. John, Windsor, and Seattle, there are no names that pop out to me.
Windsor's the only possibility, and I don't think there is.
I was wondering, too.
Right.
And I just want to throw something back at you guys real quick. You can laugh or call me an idiot, too, like my buddies. You know, I know we're all lifers here with the Blues, and we're wondering, right, how we can end this 47-year hex of just getting to the Stanley Cup and then 50 years of not winning it. I have something I've always worried that we're jinxed on, and I'll throw it by you guys. And I know I'm a little older than you guys. I don't know if you guys realize, in 1971 on Christmas Day, the Blues fired their coach. It was a chap named Billy McCreary. I don't know, he probably deserved it. You don't know much about him like the famous coaches that we fired. But me being a religious kind of guy, I'm a little scared that the man upstairs is holding that against us, you know, firing a coach on. I know you can't do it anymore now. They have that new rule where they have a break and you can't make trades or anything. But I didn't know if you guys realized this. Way back once upon a time in 1971 on Christmas Day, the Solomons fired our coach. And I'm just wondering if that upset the man upstairs. And he's holding grudges against the Blues.
Well,
hey, great show, guys. Have a great day.
Yep, thanks, Jim. I can tell you that I certainly cannot speak with authority on the comings and goings of the Lard, but I have a hard time imagining, like, I don't know.
I think that's it. I think he figured it out, and it seems pretty obvious to me at this point.
I understand it, the vengeful God goes away at the end of the Old Testament, right?
Well, but...
So that's a couple thousand years ago.
He's still just.
There's a competing,
yeah, but not vengeful.
Gotta be justice.
There's a competing
vengeance.
There's a competing curse on the FM talk station that says that it's the curse of Scotty Bowman.
Right.
But they fired Scotty Bowman. He goes on to win the most cups of any coach in NHL history, and the Blues don't win. So
I think the other one seems more likely. Makes
firing
sense.
Firing a guy on Christmas Day, that is cold blooded.
Yeah. Cold.
Yeah.
It was 1971. We haven't been to the Cup final since the year before that. So yeah,
right.
I mean it fits really well.
I wish I would have
figured it out.
By the way, as I go Googling for the rosters to verify that we are correct about the Memorial Cup, the very first name that I see for the Windsor Spitfires, not a Blue, but Connor Chatham, who's a local guy, who's from Swansea, Illinois, is playing for Windsor. So Chatham, at least, will be he's a New Jersey Devils pick. Will be playing in the tournament.
I'm fairly certain there are no Blues prospects on the last four teams in the Memorial Cup.
I believe so as well.
And you know there are no Chicago Wolves left in the Calder Cup in the AHL. They were eliminated on Saturday. So I think it's going to be interesting to see how they try to mix some youngsters in. As we're talking about prospects and younger guys, prospect camp in July, I assume, is going to happen again. There was a couple years in a row where they didn't do it, and then it's been back the last couple seasons. Do you ever go to prospect camp there, Jeff?
I have been. I've been in the past. I've not been in the last couple years because I haven't been in town, but I have in previous years. Yes, I did once upon a time see a young David Perron prancing about at prospect camp.
It is kind of a fun little break from the summer heat because it can be like 95 degrees.
Right.
You go in the ice rink. It's like sticking your head in the freezer and enjoying some summertime hockey. The guys who are hyped as the future, man, they stick out, and it's the difference.
It is pretty stunning to see the guys that really, and it also can be fun to see guys who jump out in prospect camp who you might not otherwise have had your eye on. My favorite example of this has been Mark Kandari years ago when Mark Kandari was, you know, was a 5'7" defenseman who nobody really had an eye on, who hopped out of the prospect camp and then was signed to a deal like immediately after. Ended up being part of that Jay Bomeister trade.
Yeah.
I mean, that was the guy who you saw in the prospect camp and like, holy smokes, like, where did this guy come from?
Colton Parayko did that a couple years ago where he came out, looked really good at the prospect camp and then training camp, killed it and earned a roster spot. He's been up in the NHL for 2 years now. After playing in, Anchorage?
Alaska Anchorage, yes.
Yeah, that's coming out of nowhere, man.
And by the way, definitely no Blues prospects in the Final Four there in the Memorial Cup.
Yeah, unfortunately. So I remember watching Ty Ratty play for the Portland Winterhawks, and you're giggling about something in the text inbox.
Again, there are things and
Can go unread.
It actually is Big Al. Al has a pretty funny joke. It's not necessarily in great spirit toward all the listeners, and so I'll save it for later.
I'm sure Big Al will text
me. He might have texted it to you, but I will.
He hasn't yet.
I will just say, Big Al, you made me laugh this morning.
All right, fair enough. I heard the phone ring again, Matt Davis.
You did. Yes, it is Hockey Bob, and he wants to talk about Matt Duchene.
Perhaps
what it may take to bring him in.
Let's before we go to him, let's set. There was a post on one of the Facebook groups that I'm not banned from, so it wasn't the Blues Lounge, and somebody said, hey, there's rumors that the Blues are in on Matt Duchene, and the person who posted it said, I'm not interested, or don't sign me up, or stay away from him.
I want to pause real quick. Your name thing is unbelievable to me, and I feel bad making fun of you because your face just dropped.
Wait,
but it's crazy.
Wait, what happened?
He said Duchene.
Duchene?
Duchene.
That's fair. Duchene.
Some of them are Duchene.
I think it's. I feel so bad.
There's a high school in St. Charles.
I think
Duchene.
I think I gave you the Rick Ankiel thing about names. Like everything is just this barely wide of the plate, and I feel bad about that.
I think does there have to be an S in there for it to be Duchene?
I don't know. I think
that
maybe.
Probably is.
Probably. All right.
Brad's gonna kill me. He got this look like I hate you. Get me the hell out of here right now.
And you know what? I'm just going to let you talk to Hockey Bob then.
And
Hockey Bob, good morning.
I feel bad because I wish you would return fire because I'm sure that I do stupid things. And
We all
do stupid things. We're all human, right? We all do stupid
things. That's right.
It's part of our nature. And we're all men, so we don't think about what we do. We just do it. You know, I was reading that article about Matt Duchene, and, you know, I understand that to get a player like that, you have to give a player up. And I just wanted your thoughts on this. One of the names that came up is Joel Edmondson. Now, I know he's a young guy. He's got a lot of upside. And, you know, that might be somebody the Blues have to give up. But if so, you know, last year the Blues were an all-tough team pretty much. I mean, then they lost Backus, Brower, and Ott, and then they went to a speed team. I kind of like the mix of speed and toughness. And if the Blues lost or traded away Joel Edmondson, you'd have literally Robert Bertuzzo, an old guy, to be the big tough guy on the blue line. So I'm wondering what your thoughts are as far as if this trade went down, do we have somebody else in the system that could be a tough defenseman as well as a good puck-moving defenseman like Edmondson?
So there's a couple of things there. The first is that, I mean, Robert Bortuzzo, we think about him as being an old guy, but he's really not that. I think he's younger than me. I'm pulling it up right now. He's only 28, so Robert Bortuzzo is old guy. Right. Edmondson is a guy who skyrockets in value during the playoffs because he has a better playoff season than he's had basically any other stretch in his career to this point. So it's hard to know whether other teams would value him all that strongly. However, the Blues don't really have a very good, I don't know, there aren't a lot of left-handed defensemen that are ready to step in and play that role. You can make arguments about Vince Dunn, make arguments about Jake Walman, but neither of those guys is going to be the same kind of physical player that you have with Edmondson. And he also, frankly, has been a really good complement to Parayko. And, I mean, if you ask me, I think he's also played well with Petrangelo and put us into that role in the past. And so I don't think that you want a guy like Bortuzzo to play top 4 minutes or to commit to a guy like Dunn or Walman to play top 4 minutes. If the Avalanche called and said, we will trade you Matt Duchene for Joel Edmondson straight up, you say yes and hang up the phone and pray that they don't realize what they did, right? But the conversation would not just be Edmondson for Duchene. We're talking about Edmondson and a combination of picks and a guy like Kyrou, for example, for Duchene. And that is a much bigger price to pay. And at this point, I don't know. I mean, Matt Duchene, probably his value is as low now as it's been maybe in his entire career. And so it's hard to want to trade for a guy at the bottom of his value.
Yeah, but the Blues do definitely need centers. And, you know, I do understand that, you know, not every team's going to have two number one or a number one and number one A centers, because there's just not that many of them and they're a rare commodity. And I guess my big concern is, yes, I definitely would like to bolster the Blues offense, get a little bit better at center. But at the same time, I really would have a hard time with a guy like Edvinson, because I've seen what his upside can be. And I think he can be better than the guy that turned out in the playoffs this year. Plus, like I said, the Blues don't have very many other physical players. I mean, Robbie Fabry plays physical, but he's a small guy. He can be taken out. Tarasenko likes to play physical, but, you know, most fans, they don't want their star players playing physical, which I totally have a problem with, because if you're a hockey player, being physical is part of hockey. I don't care if you're Wayne Gretzky or if you're a fourth-line player whose name comes up in conversations only when hockey's not going on. But so I like the fact that Edmondson can play tough. So I would have a hard time with it, but, yeah, I guess I would do the trade. But I'm just curious. I mean, do they have any other defensemen in the organization that can step up and be tough like Joel's been?
Yeah, all right. Thanks, Bob, for calling in. I don't really know. There aren't really a lot of big physical guys. The guys that they have in the AHL are primarily, like I said, puck-moving guys. That's the Walmans. That's the Duns.
Edmondson at this point a physical, you know, kind of guy like he's just describing is kind of a stretch at this right now.
Well, too. I think that he gets penciled into that role because he ends up being on that shift with Parayko, so he ends up taking a lot of the physicality out of that. And also, he is a guy who has that ability in him, right? You've seen him scrap. And so basically once you see a guy fight, the expectation is he's going to be a big physical defenseman. So it's not necessarily, maybe that's not the core of Joel Edmondson's game, but he can absorb that and he can deliver. He can deliver the good hits.
Right.
And so
it's not a definition of him as a player.
Right. And so again, here, if the Avs want to trade Duchene for Edmondson straight up, you take it and run. But that's not the conversation. The conversation is Duchene for Edmondson plus a couple of other really valuable pieces, and that is going to that's going to be serious.
What's your call on that?
On what? Matt Duchene?
You pull that move. Yeah, do you make that move? Don't even put names on the prospects or whatever else you got to send.
Well,
that way.
But
just you got to send a good package that way to get Matt Duchene.
I don't know that I necessarily. It's a cop out, but I can't answer that question without putting names on the prospects because I really do think that it matters.
Okay.
And I also. Matt Duchene is not a guy who really excites me. Right?
Well,
that
exactly,
is a guy with a ton of
point.
Skill, but that's not a guy where I'm like, yeah, go get Matt Duchene.
Matt Duchene is not that exciting to me either, so I'm not really willing to give
but it's hard
up
to
all
know,
that much
and
for him.
It's hard to know how much of that is the result of him having a bad year for a bad team and that affecting the perception of him.
They folded up shop. Trade deadline didn't happen. You know, there have been rumors about him and Landeskog being on the move. Did I pronounce his name okay?
You did. You nailed that one.
Thanks. Gabriel Landeskog. I'm just going to start saying names.
By the way,
purpose.
Richard Pritchard texted in to say that he also is a Duchene guy. So you have a supporter. He also texts in pictures of balls pretty often, so that's who you have when you're peering. But still.
Thanks, buddy. The way that the Avalanche rolled, you know, basically closed up shop and said, oh, we didn't get traded? Oh, then we don't have to try the rest of the season. I mean, they were brutal down the stretch. The Blues saw them several times. Those guys were really not very dangerous that often. I know that's probably a bad sample. It's a bad, you know, you could find other times to look at them and judge how quality they are if you added them to your roster. But, man, seeing how they gave up and didn't really give a crap the rest of the season.
Mm-hmm.
It's a bad,
a lot of heart, right?
It's a bad look. It's a really bad look.
Text from the 618 says, Duchene, no thanks. If you're going to start trading a few big prospects, go after McKinnon. I did see yesterday.
Yeah. He's like the only guy they don't want to get rid of.
Well, yeah, right. And Nathan McKinnon also, he had the primary assist on both Parayko goals yesterday. And so I saw people being like, wouldn't that be nice?
So it fits.
I mean, it's PowerPoint, but yeah, I mean, yes, that is.
Yeah.
He's only like, what, 21 maybe?
He was first overall pick, what, 4 years ago. So he would be, he'd be 21, 22. 22, yeah.
Yeah. So that'd be awesome. Yeah, just pry Nathan McKinnon away. The only guy the Avalanche don't want to trade.
Right.
And you know what? Since Joe Sakic still has a job, does that mean that he's not going to get fired?
I guess. I mean, why would you fire him at this point? Unless you're going to do like the Buffalo Bills thing where you fire the GM the week after the draft.
After the draft.
Yeah.
That makes no
sense. Yeah, I don't understand that at all. By the way, as we're talking to Bob on the air about Matt Duchene, the president is tweeting
Oh, yeah? What'd the president say?
He is directly contradicting H.R. McMaster from last night. Shock of shocks.
Wait, what?
As president, I wanted to share with Russia at an openly scheduled WH meeting, which I have the absolute right to do, facts pertaining, and then there's a 9-minute gap in between his tweets because he doesn't know how to thread tweets, to terrorism and airline flight safety, humanitarian reasons, I don't know what the hell that means, plus I want Russia to greatly step up their fight against ISIS and terrorism. So McMaster, last night, goes out and says, story is false, nothing was disclosed. Trump gets his phone in his hands this morning and immediately says,
yeah, I
gave Russia information because I wanted them to be able to help fight terrorism.
The reports were that it was talking about laptops on airplanes.
Honest to God, like, how grateful is Sean Spicer at this moment that his office is on the first floor? Because,
yeah.
I mean, look, there's not. I don't think there's a tall enough window in the White House to jump out of that you could actually be grievous. I mean, you probably break your leg, but you couldn't really, like, do harm to yourself if you jumped out a White House window. Nor they probably open, I guess.
So we should get the music ready for our daily segment where we dip into Facebook and try to find some interesting posts online. It's your Bad Blues Lounge post of the day. The button.
You will never find a more wretched hive of scum and villainy.
So we're banned from the Blues Lounge, and actually we got some...
By the way, briefly,
yeah,
I like the dovetail from our previous conversation into that Kenobi soundbite into what's coming next.
Yeah, well, there's gonna be a callback here in 1 second. So we got our daily smuggling of Blues Lounge posts, and I gotta tell you, I'm a little underwhelmed with the quality of the insanity going on in the Blues Lounge.
Well, people are tired.
Yeah. So we're gonna do two things. One is there's a link to a pro hockey talk story that links back to the St. Louis Post-Dispatch story about upheavals not necessary. This was actually a headline on pro hockey talk after, quote, bad season, Laterra at crossroads in St. Louis. And they make sure to point out that he says, Laterra told the Post-Dispatch, quote, it was a bad season for myself, adding that he needed to come back next season and show, quote, I can play much better hockey. I know English is probably not his first language, obviously, but, I mean, you got any more color there, Yuri Laterra, that,
well,
you can add to the thing? I mean,
he is very dry. He's a pretty funny guy, and he is very, very dry, and so perhaps in print that does not always come off, like, you know, I think it would be a lot of fun to put Yuri Laterra and Lance Lynn in a room and have them do comedy together. That, to me, actually would be a fairly interesting thing to watch.
Unintentional comedy.
Right,
maybe.
They would be, yeah.
But
that's a buddy cop show I would watch.
Yuri Laterra getting his own headline on Pro Hockey Talk, and it's and his headline is surrounded by conference final headlines. I mean, man, is there that little going on
the
NHL?
I think it was just a matter of somebody at Pro Hockey Talk got to have a conversation, and so they were going to run whatever interview they could get, which is fine.
So someone else suggested that we should mention this story that's floating out there about the president. Since we're a sports radio station and show, have you read what the president thinks about exercise?
I have read this, yes.
So one of our spies sent this to us.
He was trained in exercise physiology at Dartmouth in 1864.
Yeah, so other than golf, he considers exercise misguided, arguing that a person is like a battery and is born with a finite amount of energy. So there's a profile I think it's the New Yorker. Yeah,
he also
the New Yorker, yeah.
He also believes that by measuring the bumps on a person's skull, you can determine their personality and potential for intelligence.
So there was a biography Trump revealed from August 2016.
Really
listen to this direct quote from the biography Trump revealed. Quote, after college, after Trump mostly gave up his personal athletic interest, he came to view time spent playing sports as time wasted. Trump believed the human body was like a battery with a finite amount of energy, which exercise only depleted.
Okay.
So he didn't work out. When he learned that John O'Donnell, one of his top casino executives, was training for an Ironman triathlon, he admonished him and said, quote, you're going to die young because of this.
So the point of that story is, after he stopped being good enough to play for sports teams, he decided sports were a waste of time.
And then basically said, exercise is a waste of time and that you'll die younger. Now, the only thing that exercise has been shown scientifically... is that it helps prolong your life.
I've seen that ass in golf pants and...
there's some junk in the trunk.
You go for a jog, yeah.
Yeah, there's some junk in the trunk.
In the meantime, the Russians are being asked by CNN. A Putin spokesman was asked for a comment and said, for us, this isn't even a topic. For us, this is more nonsense. CNN asked him to deny the report and said, and they said, quote, "We absolutely do not want to have any relationship to this nonsense," which is a way to refuse to deny the report, by the way.
They basically declared shenanigans.
No, they said,
well, yeah, but they're saying problem. It's nonsense. This story is shenanigans.
Are you a watcher of Veep on HBO?
I've seen some, but not everything.
So the guy that plays Jonah, Tim Simons, is an actor, and was tweeting yesterday, and he was tweeting about how funny it was that everyone was worried that the cameraman would be bringing in surveillance equipment to play into the Oval Office, and instead Trump just told them stuff. Just told them stuff.
You don't have to go to that.
Right.
Didn't even
need the surveillance equipment.
But we're talking about AP News alerts on my phone.
Yeah.
There was one about that basically an AP News alert, the president is tweeting about this, and yeah.
That's how that works now.
You know, I went to college to be a journalist, and I got a 4-year degree. And there was a time where I thought about trying to work for the Associated Press because it is the news agency of record.
You could be Cal May right now. You could have the first question at every Cardinals post game.
I thought he works for a radio station over in Illinois.
No, I think he's an AP stringer. Like I think he works for the radio station, but I think the AP he's an AP guy.
Because RB Fallstrom is busy or something.
I don't know.
Anyway, long story. I can't imagine people who went to college to be journalists and said, that I'm going to go work for AP, the number one news agency in the world. In the world. And they're writing news alerts about presidential tweets. That sucks.
Well, and what reveals itself, look, Helen Thomas was in the White House for 85 years, whatever the hell
she's
it was.
Dead, too.
She is dead. But now you look at the people that make up the White House press corps, and they're all like 25, right? Like this is a first stop now.
Is this
on
the
a
people
career
that are actually
a destination?
The people there who are getting called on, or who are not getting called
it's
on? The last
people,
couple
it's
days.
People that have the seats, right? Well, people getting called on, it's Fox first, and then Fox Business News third. But yeah, I mean, it's not a destination anymore because it doesn't have any meaning. Like this is.
All right, let's go back to hockey.
Man.
So as I was perusing Pro Hockey Talk, an NBC Sports website, hey, NBC Sports, buy St. Louis Game Time instead. Our friend Brian Elliott is a free agent. I believe 32 years old.
Yeah.
He's being tossed around for a team in Canada. Did you see where he's rumored to be interested in?
I didn't, but I'm going to say Winnipeg.
Winnipeg is the right answer.
Ooh.
You know, this year they had Connor Hellebuck?
Yes.
Andre Pavlicek?
Pavlik.
I thought it
almost
was
said a bad word.
I heard it.
I almost said a bad word. And Michael Hutchinson. Andres P. Anyway, three not good goalies.
Andre, not Andres.
Whatever. Apparently the Winnipeg Sun is... Did I say the Winnipeg Sun is right?
Winnipeg Sun, you nailed.
Apparently they're tossing around Brian Elliott as a candidate. Quote from the Winnipeg Sun, he's 32, has plenty of experience in the Central Division as both a starter and a backup. Man, mentioning that he could be a backup.
I mean, he'd be in a time split with Hellebuck. Look, at this point, Elliott
is... Can you say Hellebuck on the air, by the way?
Yeah, I think so. Okay. Elliott is a 40-game goalie and not a 60-game goalie. I think that probably is where he's
Fair.
At this point in his career.
This is the bottom line from the Winnipeg Sun. There's no doubt Elliott struggled in the playoffs against the Ducks this season. But he also helped the St. Louis Blues reach the Western Conference Final the previous season. He also would be a good mentor for Hellebuck.
In Winnipeg with Hellebuck is a good spot. Also, Vancouver with Jacob Markstrom is a spot that to me makes some sense for Brian Elliott. Well, that's a,
at 32. That's
a, I don't know about that.
At 32, he still has some quality years left, right?
Yeah, two or three.
If you don't overexpose him.
Right, for a 40 of a game.
Keep him in that 40-game
30,
range.
40-game
yeah,
guy.
Should be pretty stellar for you.
Does
I don't
he,
think Vancouver works very well
why not?
For him,
What's
though.
Wrong
well,
with
they're horrible, and does he's not going to be that guy.
Does Brian Elliott need a strong defensive team in front of him?
That appears to be the case.
So
I don't know about strong, but at least not horrible.
Committed to defense?
Sure.
Willing to play defense?
Willing to play defense is a good way to put it. I don't think Calgary at the beginning of the season, when he was putting up a 3.5 goals against. And
right.
Like he led like 7 goals in his first, what, 3 games or something. I don't think that was the best fit for him. They got it together, and he was good down the stretch, and then they stumbled in the playoffs, obviously. I don't know if Vancouver would be the right spot because I don't think they enjoy playing defense.
It's hard to know where the chairs are going to stop for Brian Elliott. So you look at spots where maybe he would make some sense. As I'm literally just sitting here spitballing off the top of my head. Detroit is a spot where if they get rid of one of Mrazek or Howard, where maybe Elliott could get 30 or 40 games. I don't know that the cap number would work, but an interesting possibility is Chicago, right, as a backup to Corey Crawford. Now, probably the Blackhawks are going to go with like a minimum salary AHL guy to fill in that spot behind Crawford, but with Darling being gone, the Blackhawks need a guy to back up Crawford, and I think they would prefer to have Crawford be able to play, you know, 50 games and not 70 games. So Elliott is a guy who would make some sense in that spot as well.
I have to assume that Brian Elliott feels that he can still offer a lot to a team and wouldn't want to be relegated to a strict backup role at this point.
I don't think
he
wants to be strictly a backup, and so maybe Chicago is less good.
That's why I think Winnipeg seems like it makes pretty good sense. But, and we've seen how Brian Elliott responds to
competition. I agree. Winnipeg is the most logical place. But look, there are only so many spots, and there are going to be a lot of goalies available.
What is the opinion of him league-wide now after this season with Calgary?
That's a fair question, right? Like, well, maybe Philadelphia is a spot where he ends up, right? He ends up playing with Neuwehr or with Stolarz. You know, I mean, Stolarz is a pretty good goalie, so maybe they don't need him there.
He's on the way.
I would wager a small amount of money he will be an NHL starter to begin the NHL season in October. Whether or not he holds on to that starting job the entire season remains to be seen. Mm-hmm. I think he will definitely have some interest. Part of the thing is, when they look at his resume, they're going to see he was not highly regarded as a youngster. Was he an undrafted free agent or like a seventh round pick?
I believe he was undrafted.
Undrafted. You know, he won a national championship with Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. He came to St. Louis basically to salvage his career. He had to go down to Peoria at one point to take a mental reset. Maybe that's the secret to becoming a good NHL goalie.
Take a mental reset?
Yeah. He went down, quote-unquote, for a conditioning stint.
Okay.
Because he wasn't getting minutes in St. Louis.
But here's the pile we're talking about. You're an NHL general manager, and you're looking at this pile of goaltenders.
Yeah.
Brian Elliott.
He doesn't have pedigree.
Jonathan Bernier.
Pedigree.
Steve Mason.
Pedigree.
Ryan Miller. Cam Ward. There are goalies available.
Yeah.
There are plenty of goalies available. And so maybe Brian Elliott doesn't want to settle to be a backup, but given all, like, are there five teams that need goalies of that caliber as quasi 1B starter?
Well, I don't know that there's a name you just mentioned that I like better than Brian Elliott.
That's the gut reaction.
Like, I wouldn't have much interest in Bernier.
I wouldn't either.
Cam Ward, same thing.
From here, having watched Elliott play, I agree with you. But I think among general managers in the NHL, if you put those five names in a hat, I don't know that Elliott would be in the top three.
That really depends. I mean, are people out there looking at their pedigree? Or are they looking at what they've accomplished, you know, in recent memory?
Both.
Which one are they going to weigh more?
Going back to Winnipeg, if you were the Jets coach and general manager, one of those two guys, and you looked at, okay, we can sign him for, say, $2.5, $3 million a year, which is below average starting pay for a starting goaltender in the NHL.
Right.
You basically look at the two of them on the ice, Hellebuck and Elliott. You're going to go with Elliott 9 times out of 10, right?
I don't know, because Hellebuck is a guy who's got a lot of talent, and that's the guy. Look, again, that's
he's a young guy. That's going to be their best chance.
That's going to be like St. Louis, where Hellebuck's going to be the guy who they want to win the job, much the same way he was here with Jake Allen.
2-year contract, $6 million.
I'm just saying that if he goes to Winnipeg, the Jets management and coaching staff is not going to want him to be the starter. They will want Hellebuck to be the guy. And so the question.
Oh, you know what? I just realized there's another storyline with Winnipeg.
Whoa.
What's the minor league team up there?
The Manitoba Moose.
Uh-huh.
Oh!
Synergy. Yep. Synergy. He's going to Winnipeg.
Lexington Steel texting in to make fun of me. He says he's 32 and practically single-handedly led the Blues to the conference finals. Pretty sure a bad playoff with a dog-ass defensive team won't relegate him to a backup spot. Philly, Jets, Vegas could all fit. So we talked about Philly and the Jets. Vegas is an interesting word there. However, did you see the interview that Ben Bishop did with the folks down in Dallas after signing the contract there?
I did not.
He talked about a couple of things. Number one, he thought that he had been traded to Calgary last year at the draft. Like, his agent had had conversation with the Flames about a contract. They had numbers pretty well figured out.
Really?
And then all of a sudden, Brian Elliott ends up being traded to Calgary. So maybe that was a matter of the Flames wanting a player that they had in the first round that they didn't think was going to be there. I'd have to look back to see who the Flames ended up drafting in the first round last year. But for whatever reason, Ben Bishop.
I can tell you, it was Matthew Tkachuk.
Oh, yeah, of course. So maybe that was it. Maybe it was a matter. Well, and because, yeah, and that pick wouldn't have been involved and a deal for Bishop. So I'm not who knows why it fell apart. Mm. But on some level, Ben Bishop thought he was going to Calgary and then all of a sudden wasn't. But then he also said that going into this offseason, he knew, you know, had a rough idea where the market was and thought that Vegas would be a possibility. And he mentioned that it would be interesting. He said, you know, that could be an interesting city to live in. That's a fun thing to build a team. They're going to be good in a hurry, yada, yada. But then mentioned that he got the impression that Vegas wanted to go younger with their goaltending, which I thought was interesting because I don't. He's not guessing, right?
They want Matt Murray.
He has information. Well, they want Matt Murray, but Philip Grubauer is a name that I think makes a lot of sense for Vegas to be a guy who they're interested in, who's a younger guy who can grow into that role. And who might be, you know, a permanent fixture for them. And so Vegas maybe on paper makes sense, but if Ben Bishop is to be believed, maybe they're not interested in going the direction toward a real veteran guy.
I think it's funny, you know, we the whole playoffs, we've basically been waiting for Marc-Andre Fleury to fall apart. He gets the shutout last night. Matt Murray has been in uniform the first couple games in Game 7.
Two shutouts in three games, by the way.
Yeah. And granted, it's Ottawa. But still, it's the conference final shutouts in the conference final. I mean, come on. I mean, what does that guy have to prove, right?
I don't think he has a lot more to prove, again, but...
You're just waiting for him. You're expecting him to fall apart any day now.
I don't know that I'm expecting him to fall apart. I think that it's more like I'm expecting him at this point, honestly, to go on like this is the last ride, right? Like because he knows that after this season, there's probably no way to keep him in Pittsburgh. I don't really...
He has a no move clause, right?
He does. So
he has
not,
to be protected.
He's not obligated to waive it. But like that's one of those gentlemen's situations where you have a hard time imagining the player digging his heels in and saying, I'm not going anywhere. Get rid of Murray. Right.
Doug Waite was St. Louis Blue. He had a no trade clause.
Yes.
They said, hey, will you waive the trade clause? He said, heck no. They went back to him and basically said, look, if you don't waive the no-trade clause, we will bury you on the bench.
Right.
He said, okay, trade me.
Right. And then getting traded to Anaheim. And
then later came back.
Yeah. Well, no, that was the second. The first time he was traded was to Carolina.
And he won the Stanley Cup.
And then he came back, and then we traded him again to Anaheim for Andy McDonald.
Yeah.
And that was when he was gone for good.
Okay. And now he's the head coach of the New York Islanders.
Yes, indeed.
I don't think you could do that to a starting goaltender that makes his amount of money and who is, I mean, pushing this team two games away or three games away from the Stanley Cup final.
You know, the other thing that the Penguins can do is, you know, we talked about these trades that the Blues could make to get Vegas to agree to take Laterra. They make a deal that so they get Vegas to agree to not take Matt Murray, but that's going to be a hefty price because Matt Murray would be a centerpiece player for Vegas. And so you're talking about Pittsburgh trading probably a player and probably a player of pretty high value, right? Like if you're here's the question. If you're Pittsburgh and Vegas says, we'll agree not to take Matt Murray, but you have to give us Jake Guentzel, can you do that?
I think they have to. I think Pittsburgh has to do whatever they have to do to not lose Matt
Guentzel's
Murray.
A point per game player, but he's playing next to Crosby. So if he's not playing, so what is he, right? And then
they cannot lose Matt Murray. Period. Moving forward for that team, they cannot lose Matt Murray.
Which is why
Marc-Andre Fleury,
the Fleury thing has to work itself out.
He's doing pretty well for them here in the playoffs. He had a 3.02 goals against average during the regular season.
Right. He is
909 save percentage.
He's not a guy who, at this point, who you can sacrifice big future pieces
for. They cannot
lose
Matt Murray.
Right. There's no way they can let that happen. So something has to happen with Fleury, or they're going to have to give Vegas a really nice carrot. And
It could hurt.
I mean, it's difficult. Yeah, it is for sure a very hard nut to crack.
Which brings up the question: why would you ever give anybody a no movement clause?
I'd have to look to see when he signed it, but I imagine it was probably in the afterglow of winning a Stanley Cup or otherwise being real successful.
Okay, but still, why a no movement clause? There's nothing else you can do. Trade clause. Yeah, I don't like those either. But sure, give him a no trade clause. Give him money. Give him term. Whatever. Don't give out no movement clauses.
And I also don't really understand.
I think he meant extensions.
Well, no. What I'm saying is, yeah, I don't know why it needs to be a necessary part of an extension. I guess the conversation probably goes along the lines of, if this isn't part of the extension, then I'm going to free agency. And when that was awarded to Fleury, Matt Murray was not yet a glimmer in anyone's eye, right? This is a guy who sort of over the last 2 years has kind of emerged. right. as an elite level goaltender. And so maybe, you know, maybe they didn't see down the road them having the opportunity to have a goaltender who would challenge Fleury in this way. But now they're here, and the asset management is a difficult thing. And look, for all of the things that you criticize Doug Armstrong for, and believe me, there are plenty, and he can always come up with plenty more, as a matter of policy, the Blues do not give out no move clauses.
Yeah.
So,
but they give out no trade clauses like
modified.
Yeah, and they give a moderate. The number of no trade clauses actually, I think, is more limited than people think it is. It looks bad because Bollmeister's got one and Berglund's got one.
Right.
And so they're guys
who doesn't, you know, have one.
Tarasenko doesn't have one.
Really?
Or doesn't have one immediately. It kicks in at some point in his deal.
Oh, okay.
Same with Petrangelo. His kicks in maybe later in his deal, but doesn't have one right now. So, I mean, there are, you know.
Well, that makes sense. They're not in any risk of getting traded.
I don't know that Jaden Schwartz has one either, as his deal goes on. So there are players that don't have that protection, and Armstrong has mostly. Look, the Blues are in a good position for this expansion draft. And one thing that I think that we should watch is. They do have...
Wait. Good position, because they don't have too many good players and they're risking losing one. Is that what you're saying?
Yes. Basically, yes.
The depth is not there, so they're not going to lose a good player.
They have a forward slot that they could fill with someone else. And so if there's a team that is afraid of losing a player in the expansion draft for nothing, the Blues could be in a position to acquire a forward that they might not otherwise be in the running for.
For an extra first-round pick or...
Yeah, right. And again, we're talking about this. I'm talking about a guy... Like Jakob Silfverberg is a guy who the Ducks are maybe not going to be able to protect, who Vegas would snatch up, but the Blues could protect.
You're just hoping I call him Jacob at some point.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. I know how you operate.
That's true.
We're winding down the show here. Game Time AM here on 59 The Fan, KFNS 105.7 HD2, streaming live and inside STL.com. I know our friend Matt Davis here was in the other studio putting up the first hour when we talked about the playoff game last night. Mm-hmm. And some other things, free agency talk, all from the first hour. So if you're just getting up or just getting in the car, turning the radio on, and you like the hockey talk, come back tomorrow, come back the rest of the week. We'll have Tom Stillman hopefully on live on tape next Monday. And don't forget to podcast like the Dickens either on Inside STL or iTunes or Google Play or your favorite podcast app. Okay, what are you looking forward to tonight? With Game 3 of the Western Conference Final, the first conference final game played in Nashville, Tennessee ever.
Well, I'm looking forward to Randy Travis singing the national anthem.
That guy had a stroke and he can't sing.
The net joke is not very good.
No, you picked the wrong guy. I was just picking a random country artist out.
You could have one that's ill.
You could have picked Clint Black. You could have picked...
I could not have picked Clint Black.
Why not?
Because I would not have gotten to that.
Garth thing. Brooks?
Garth you, Brooks, maybe.
Hey,
Garth Brooks is too big.
Hey,
yeah.
Enough with the country music.
Come I did, on. You know, now that Gander Mountain is going out of business, I did see 2 years ago, what's the guy, Daryl Worley, I saw him sing his 9/11 song in the parking lot of the Gander Mountain in O'Fallon, Illinois, I think it's Shiloh.
Maybe they get Lee Greenwood, be American and then do the national.
Well, but again, Lee Greenwood is too big, maybe.
I don't think he's that busy.
I think he's all I know one. Is that Daryl Worley apparently had a contract with Gander Mountain to go to all their store openings and sing that 9/11 song and then leave, and that happened.
Can you explain to me how you can have a modified no trade clause and a no movement clause at the same time?
So the no movement clause this is a mistake that I've made as well, and I need to double check myself on this to make sure I understand this correctly. The no movement clause, I believe, refers to roster movement to the minors and to waivers, but not necessarily to no trade protection. Now, a full no movement clause can prevent you from being traded, perhaps, but I think that there are types of no move clauses that only shield you from waivers. So, for example, it's buyout proof, basically, is what it means.
Right.
Is that you cannot be put on waivers in order to be bought out.
Okay. Well, there's one player on the Blues team that is has a no movement clause coming up starting in 2017.
Berglund, probably, right?
Patrick Berglund.
Yeah.
Next season has a no movement clause, and then the following four seasons after that is a modified no trade clause along with the no movement clause.
So his modified no trade right now, he's basically there are six. He gives them a list of six
teams every year that says
I will not go to these six teams. My guess is that no move clause protects Berglund only from buyout. That would be my suspicion, is that he could not be placed on waivers for the duration of his deal.
Mm. I think it's funny. Like you can pick six teams, three of them are Toronto. Right. So, three for Toronto, one's Miami, maybe. Yeah, going to Miami wouldn't be too bad.
That would be a really fascinating list to see is who is submitted on the
Winnipeg.
Yeah. Well, so I know that I think TSN maybe does polls of players that they anonymously ask, like players with no trade clauses, like where are the most common areas that you don't want to be traded to, and it is. I mean, it's Toronto, Winnipeg, Edmonton. Basically, it's heavy media. And places where it sucks to live are the places where players don't want to be traded to.
Is it snowy 6 months out of the year? Yeah, I don't want to go there.
Six?
I would go to Winnipeg.
Okay, fair enough. Winnipeg's an interesting thing. I mean, it's in the middle of nowhere. Travel sucks. You have to fly a long way to even play in the division.
So I wrote about this, actually, earlier this year for Game Time. I met with the Jets team doctor in Washington and talked to him about their travel schedule. The closest divisional opponent for the Winnipeg Jets is Minnesota. That is a further distance than the furthest divisional opponent for the Washington Capitals.
Yeah, that's
because
crazy.
The Washington Capitals' furthest opponent is Columbus. That is a closer trip than the closest opponent for Winnipeg, which is Minnesota.
Yeah.
I'm going to go out on a limb and say that Winnipeg surpasses Minnesota next season.
In
the standings.
Well, they've got the young talent. They need to learn how to play defense, and they need a goaltender.
Goalie, right.
So they've got some cap room, obviously, I would imagine. I can go research that real quick on Cap Friendly.
Doesn't do a lot of good to have cap room if you don't have any cash.
They got cash. What are you talking about?
I'm just saying that's not a team that is necessarily overflowing with financial resources.
Their final cap space on the year, $6.3 million.
And you also have to be able to tell free agents that they should come there.
Well, that's true.
Right,
that's
like true. The TJ Oshies of the world are not going to Winnipeg.
No, that's probably not. All right, so any prediction for tonight in Nashville? Ducks and Predators.
A goal will be scored.
A goal?
At least one.
I hope more than one.
By Ryan Ellis?
I'll take Purnell.
Okay.
I'll take PK for get on the board tonight.
I think they win at home, and you're going to hear the announcers just rave about the atmosphere of Bridgestone Arena.
Yep.
It's highly underrated. In fact, it's so underrated, and it's been called underrated so much, it's overrated now.
So here's an interesting question. I guess Kenny Albert is probably doing that game.
Probably.
So John Forslund had the game last night in Pittsburgh, so no Doc Emmerich. I don't know what's going on there.
Or maybe they're saving Doc for just the NBC games.
Well, and I also maybe that, and he's not involved in horse racing, because I know Olchek does horse racing, so Doc wouldn't be at the Preakness. So no. I don't know what that's. Yeah, I was surprised to turn on the game last night and hear John Forslund, so I don't know what's going on with Doc Emmerich.
Well, we'll see what happens. Turn on tonight, what about 7:15, 7:30 start?
Yep. I mean, I know he doesn't usually travel very far west. But Doc did do the Western Conference final. No, it did. Kenny Albert had it last year, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
So we'll see. We'll see announcers. I kind of think Nashville's going to take a 2-1 lead, but I still think the Ducks probably pull the series out. So
until Nashville loses a game at home in the playoffs, then they have to be the favorite.
Okay.
So once that happens, then it flips for me. But
I wonder how demoralizing losing that game, game two, where they had the lead and choked it up three goals in the second period for the Ducks. If that could turn the tide, we'll see.
I mean,
is momentum real?
Anaheim has shown that resiliency, obviously, right? They had the miracle comeback against Edmonton. They have shown throughout these playoffs that there is almost no lead that they are afraid to play against.
So. Matt Davis, you're going to have number one star, so pick one out. Pressure's on. So three stars of the show. Jeff, who do you have at third star?
I will begrudgingly give the third star to Hockey Pop because he's tolerated so much.
All right. Good call. He's one of our most loyal listeners.
That's true.
Yeah.
And we do appreciate it.
Yeah. Thanks, Hockey Bob. So, Hockey Bob, third star. Second star, I'm going to give it to I don't know who. How about we'll give it to capfriendly.com. We're looking at all their free agent lists.
Cap Friendly is pretty great on that.
They're, you know, NHL, what was it? What was the website that the guy died? NHL numbers?
Yeah, and then the general manager guy got hired by Vegas. And
yeah, so that, man, when that guy died and his website went dark. That was depressing.
Yeah, anyway. Not a good day.
Yeah. All right, Matt Davis, who do you have for number one
star? I'm going to go with my newborn baby daughter.
That's a good call.
Madison, and the blankets that she received this morning.
Awesome.
So thank you for that.
Sure. All right, Madison. I know you're not listening, but she could be up at this hour. You never know.
She totally probably is.
Could you call her crib the Madhouse on Madison?
Sure.
Oh, man. All right. That's it for Game Time AM. Thanks for joining us. 2 hours of hockey talk. We didn't even talk about the Cardinals once today.
They play tonight. Boston.
Yeah.
Tote bag giveaway.
Cap Friendly just told me Steen has a full no trade clause.
Yeah, there you go. Old Cardinal Joe Kelly is going to be on the pregame with our friend the Cat on Fox Sports Midwest. So tune in for that. That should be a treat. All right, more Game Time AM tomorrow here on 590 The Fan. Thanks for listening today. Goodbye.